I think first and foremost, one needs to understand the significance of this to all Africans. You know, the ILO was born in 1919 during the First World War. And since then, we've never had an African. And for me, that is of huge significance. And of course, I do want, though, to underline that I would hate for people to think that I should only be excited about being nominated because I'm African. But that is a pure coincidence of history. I just believe that it's a recognition of competence, it's a recognition of experience, and it's a recognition of the expertise I have from being in the multilateral environment specifically.
What does this position entail?
Well, it entails really being at the top of a multilateral agency that I like to refer fondly as the mother of all work. It is an organization that we take for granted because everything we do in all our aspects of life in the world of work comes from the ILO. And so little things like, you know, the working hours that you have, things like wages, your Convention 131, for example, in terms of your wage setting convention that we recently worked with in South Africa, issues of occupational safety and health. And at a time like this, where we've had the COVID pandemic, where it has been revealed all the ugliness of things that we failed to deal with before to help the lives of people to have decent work, to have dignity, and now that have been exposed by the COVID, in the aftermath, it's going to be an even more important organization, far more important than it was during the First World War in 1919, in that it has to now address issues that pertain to people throughout the world to improve their lives and ensure their dignity in their lives in the world of work, Lulu.
Just speaking of issues and, you know, improving people's lives, we have issues like youth unemployment, social injustice, and migrant workers on the continent that are facing some really, really difficult times. How are you planning to deal with such issues that we face as the African continent?
Well, the ILO, as you might be aware, works on what we call social dialogue. It's a very special brand of what makes it unique, what gives it a competitive edge, in that it is the only organization in the multilateral environment, in the UN family, that has trade unions, that has employers, and that has governments. So it takes the three to be able to do anything. So for me, the only way to be able to deal with these things is to first use the ILO's legacy, its rich standards and normative environment that it has, is to use all the elements of its success, but to find a way to reposition the ILO so that it has heightened relevance for its member countries. I mean, it has 187 member countries, and South Africa, of course, is one of those members and is one of the founder members of the ILO. South Africa has the highest level of unemployment. We have the highest level of inequality as a country. But of course, it is to massage the leadership in those countries. It is to talk to the social partners together in those countries to say it is not enough to simply have the laws. It's not enough to simply ratify the standards. It is not enough to simply talk about it. What we need to do is to implement. What we need to do is to grasp the position that we have and the opportunity to recalibrate the world post the COVID, and to show that we can together as a collective do that. So it involves a lot of massaging, but it also involves a lot of decision-making, decisiveness. What is lacking in most countries, South Africa included especially, is being decisive, is being able to pay attention to the real needs of the people and customizing solutions to the needs of the people rather than bringing things that are imported from somewhere else, or rather failing in being able to have conversations that matter, Lulu.
Now, very briefly, could you just tell us, together with our listeners, about your background, your accomplishments as a business person, you know, being an organized business activist and academia?
Well, I think first and foremost, I like to always tell people that I'm a rural boy, very rural, from the Eastern Cape. I still go home. I've been going for the last 32 years every December, like all Makodugas, as we call it, the guys that travel from here, from Joburg. But I think, more importantly, I'm a father of three, a very proud father, a grandfather of two, very proud grandfather, and I'm a sports person. I'm an endurance sports person. But in terms of business, I've been very fortunate to have had exceptional training. I mean, of course, I went through the normal Bantu education, pre-94 education, but I was very fortunate to have parents who cared about education, who paid attention to that. And having gone through that, was able to do all my studies at Wits, did both my degrees at Wits, ended up running the music industry. I became an intellectual property lawyer, ran the music industry, then went into the technology sector, where my team and I were able to turn around a company that is still a leading training solutions provider. We built it in over 27 countries. We're able to win every award there is to win, Cisco Partner of the Year every year, Microsoft Partner of the Year, and a few other awards. In 2006, one of the things that happened is I became the IT Personality of the Year. But also in that same year, I was given an award by over 500 women for being an icon man, because they said that I'm not threatened by the power of women. And in fact, I do work and do my part in ensuring that that happens. And also became Businessman of the Year in 2009. So I've worked in the technology space. I've run businesses in the property space and in the advertising space. I've had partnerships with Vodacom and some of my entities. But more importantly, I've always been involved in the multilateral space. I've always been involved in organized business. I've been in the ILO for the last 12 years. And in the ILO itself, in 2017, I was the first African ever to be the vice president of the International Organization of Employers, and therefore the vice chairman of the ILO in Switzerland, in Geneva. And what that means is that the IOE, for example, organizations like BUSA in South Africa, is one of about 150 member organizations of the IOE, and I represented over 50 million companies in that process. So I've had the privilege to be able to play in the governance structures of the ILO as one of the officers of the ILO as well. So it's been quite a journey, an amazing journey that I've enjoyed. But more importantly, it's been a journey where it's taken me into the multilateral space, but not many people get an opportunity coming from our country, from the developing world, because I also chaired the Business Human Rights and Responsible Business Conduct for all employers in the world, which meant that as much as I was in the ILO from a UN family point of view, I've also been in the UN proper, dealing with human rights issues, which dovetail and work very well with the issues of dignity and decent work that I've been talking about in the ILO.
Now, Prof, you've been endorsed by your candidacy for the ILO General Secretary has been endorsed, Director General, I beg your pardon. You've been endorsed by the African Union, the Southern African Development Community, SADC, the Southern African Trade Union Coordination Council, COSATU Federation of Unions, and all these other councils, including the National Council of Trade Unions, NACTU. And without really dampening the mood and the excitement of your, your endorsements, why has the government withdrawn its endorsement? Why the mysterious endorsement? What is the issue there?
This happened on the 1st and the 2nd of October. It's been a mystery. It's been a huge, huge mystery. No one's come out to say what it is. Except for some kind of background chatter that I've heard of, trying to convince other people to follow suit. When I say other people, the government has tried to speak to social partners. The social partners have told them, sorry, you're smoking something strong and illegal. They haven't agreed to work with them. They haven't been able to explain this to a single soul that I'm aware of since then. But as I always say to people, I don't want to spend my time on negativity, Lulu, if we may. I'd like to spend my time on focusing on the positive aspects of a campaign that will win. This is a campaign that will ensure that we dance in the halls as Africans of the ILO next year, March the 25th. And so for me, I'd rather focus on the fact that the SADC countries have given me recognition and have honored me with giving me a tripartite support. And I think this is significant. When you get trade unions, employers, and governments to support you, when you get the African Union to endorse you, I think I'd rather focus on that. I'd rather focus on the goodwill of real South Africans. I've had amazing, amazing support from real South Africans. I've been endorsed, by the way, by the BITF, the Black Information Technology Forum. I've been endorsed by the BMF, the Black Management Forum. I've been endorsed by groups of youth of all universities in South Africa. I've been endorsed by all South Africans that matter. So yesterday, I spoke to Parliament. I mean, this is a contradiction what other people might think. You know, 2 days ago, I opened a productivity summit for our country because I'm chairman of Productivity South Africa. And I think it's significant for people to know that as the chairman of Productivity South Africa, I'm accountable to the Minister of Employment and Labour, the same minister who I'm told withdrew me, the same minister who is attacking me behind my back. So, but you know what? It doesn't matter because I'm able to contribute to the conversations that matter. For me to speak to Parliament yesterday and address Parliament on issues that really matter, on how to deal with the unemployment we're talking about for the youth, how to deal with the inequality, how to deal with a just transition that we will never realize that will be a pipe dream if we focus on these egotistical little silos of people who are threatened by people who can think. So for me, I focus on the positive elements. I focus on the fact that I am backed by an amazing team. I'm backed by a team that knows what to do for us to get to the promised land. And the promised land is winning for Africa. It's winning for all of us, which is really what matters. Not individuals, not little squabbles, not egos and so on. So that is my view on this matter, Lulu.